Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is basic principles of disease and healing, number three. And we always like to give credit to the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, Alice Bailey, who wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. Disease, both physical and psychological, has its roots in the good, the beautiful, and the true. It is but a distorted reflection of divine possibilities. I find that to be a paradoxical statement, which I think that Sarah and Dale will straighten out for us, but before we go explore that, let's find out the answer to this. What is the relationship between the good, the beautiful, and the true, and disease?
That's a good question. I think the subject is more complicated and more complex than anyone, even a trained healer, can properly address, and Dale and I are not trained healers by any means. We're students of the books of Alice Bailey, and she has written a marvelous book on healing, which is titled Esoteric Healing. And from that volume, we've culled a few ideas to share with our audience. So I don't want people to think that in listening to us, we are presenting some kind of expert viewpoint. We're not. But we can share a few thoughts that we have gained from her writing on this subject. And she says that a basic primary law of healing is that all disease is the result of inhibited soul life. The soul is inhibited, constricted, restrained in some way. That brings about disease in the physical body. And those who listen to our program long enough know that we regard the physical body as just a form, a shell, in a sense, for the indwelling life of the soul and the spirit, which are the true being. So we are not our body. We are the soul. We are pure spirit manifesting through a form which occasionally gets sick and eventually, for sure, will die. And she said that all disease is a result of inhibited soul life. The soul is attempting to work through a physical body in the act of every baby being born. That's the coming of the soul of that person to Earth to live for 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years in a physical vehicle on the plains of the Earth. So that is an incredibly valiant, courageous decision by the soul right there. Manifesting through matter can't be all that easy for the soul. And that's where the constriction and the inhibition come. The healing art, I think, arises from gaining a sense of what will release the inhibited soul life, what will allow it to fluidly, freely express itself. And that's what lies behind the idea that the good, the beautiful, and the true are attempting to manifest through our lives as we live on Earth. And I think all of us with some humility would say we don't make a perfect expression of the good, the beautiful, and the true, even though many of us may be trying.
Yes, I think we have to realize that the soul has its own specific plans to work out in any particular life, not necessarily a grand design for fame and fortune and all that, but something more simple like gaining more control over the reactive emotional nature, for example. It works at small increments rather than big grand designs, and it has a certain karmic responsibilities to bring into balance due to the past lives of this soul and personality working together. So there, it tends to be friction, points of friction set up, and the purity of the energy of the soul is working at its higher rate of vibration, comes into conflict with the coarser vibration of the personality vehicles, the physical vehicle and the emotional nature and the mental bodies. And it's like, for example, two musical notes that don't sound harmonious together. When they're sounded together, it creates a point of friction, and often it's felt in the solar plexus, as it is in this case. And
we've talked about friction before, and that we don't view it as necessarily a bad thing.
No, it isn't.
Inevitable.
It does produce friction in the life of the personality. The personality notices it through some discontented, maybe a psychological reaction to something deep within that person that is not being met, some plan in mind that this person may have, some ideal to work out in his or her particular life. And that's what gets thwarted, because it may not correspond exactly with what the soul has in mind.
But don't you think there's a great tendency today among people to believe that if life is flowing along smoothly, harmoniously, everything is happening without a great deal of strain and stress, that that's a sign that everything is good and successful, that one's life is successful. Whereas the ageless wisdom might say that one should be creating some friction in one's life. In fact, mm-hmm. There should be some growing pains, some struggles, some striving. And that might be, for some of our listeners, kind of a revolutionary concept.
Well, yes. I think it's somewhere in the Bailey teachings it says, if you don't have any crisis in your life, then create one.
That's a shock. Most people are absolutely bent on making sure they don't have a crisis.
Yeah.
And I don't exactly look forward to them either. But that's where the soul can grow and triumph.
It's necessary, and it's inevitable at first, because as I said earlier, there are two rates of vibration, if you want to put it in those terms: the purified, highly spiritual vibration of the soul working through this unprincipled, uncoarse vibration of the physical and the emotional body in particular, and it's bound to set up a conflict, because these two rates of vibration just don't correspond harmoniously.
Isn't it ironic that we spend so much time focusing today in our Western world on plastic surgery and dieting and clothing and jewelry and makeup to make the physical body more and more attractive, and we're totally missing the point of producing a physical vehicle that would be harmonious for the soul?
Well, I know, and the medical profession doesn't even recognize this energy of the soul, the factor of the soul working at all, having any effect on this disease that they're trying to cure.
Mm-hmm.
But this disease often, as it says in the books, arises because of this friction between the soul, the soul's plans and the plans of the personality. And wherever that friction is focused, whether it's in the solar plexus, for example, then you're going to have some kind of disease working out there.
And that friction is a good thing. I guess I'm belaboring this point, but that friction for a certain stage is actually a good thing. If the soul were happy as a clam to be manifesting through a physical body that ate chocolate, loved burgers, drank lots of Coke, and basically slept 14 hours a day, how productive would that be for the soul's purposes?
Well,
terribly.
No, it wouldn't. It would be kind of deadly to the soul's purposes, because
it'd be inhabiting this slug of a body that just sort of loafed around, and
it's not working out some of the divine plan. And that's what the soul is really concerned about, is its view of the divine plan. It's the plan of God that it is trying to work out through this imperfect physical body. And that's where the friction comes. And the more one is in contact with the soul and allows this little self, the selfish self, to get out of the way and allow that soul energy to pour through freely, uninhibited, unimpeded, then you will have a more of a divine expression in the world.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our title, the title for this show, is Basic Principles of Disease and Healing, which we'll return to in a moment. But in the meantime, I'd like to talk about healing in the sense that we have a book, Esoteric Healing, and it's by Alice Bailey, our founder, and it's available from the Lucis Publishing Company for $22. That's Lucis Publishing Company, $22. Shipping's free, by the way. And if you'd like to order by mail, send a check or money order for $22 to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You can also, if you'd prefer, you can order online from our website at www.lucistrust.org. That's if you'd like to order online, once again, that's from our website at www.lucistrust.org. Once again, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, lucistrust.org. And I think it's a good idea to repeat that if you decide, repeat the mailing address if you decide to send in a check or money order. Once again, you can make the check out to Lucis Publishing Company, 120, send it to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you'd like us to send you a general package of information, you're certainly welcome to call up on our toll-free line and ask for the general package of information, which is 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York LUCIS. Also, in regard to our website, you can, if you key into our website, you can also get a library. You can take a look at our library of archive shows. We have a lot of them right now. You can look at some of our past shows that are on a variety of different topics coming from the works of Alice Bailey. And to do that on the website, once again, the website, www.lucistrust.org. And we also appreciate and thank you for the donations that you sent to us to help keep this program on the air. And you can, if you'd like to continue to donate, or if you're donating for the first time, we certainly welcome your donations and we appreciate them. And thank you once again for your support. Send your donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. The basic principles of disease and healing, I'd like to return to that. What more do you have to say about that?
Well, we were talking about the fact that friction isn't always bad, and it's this friction between the goal of the soul and the reality of the present life manifesting through a physical body that manifests as disease, and that it, as our opening thought said, has its roots in the good, the beautiful, and the true. What that is saying is that it's the aspiration of the individual towards his or her concept of good, which would work out as goodwill, that creates a kind of a resistance in the form nature, because the person has a higher vision of goodness than they are able to manifest in a really adequate way. And this friction, this failure to live up to this highest vision of the good, can eventually result in disease, or it can manifest, the books say, in depression or in an inferiority complex or a kind of a all-pervasive sense of failure. And these conditions often lie behind disease, and yet they represent something very good in the sense of aspiring toward a very high and worthy goal. The beautiful also is an ideal that one might have some sense of but not really be able to manifest. And this inharmony, this inexact measurement between the vision and the reality can predispose one to disease. And the true also, there's an idea of truth that is not really lived out adequately in the physical personality and body, that sets up a condition ripe for disease.
Yeah, I think today probably a lot of the problems that people are encountering or having have to do with blockages and problems in the solar plexus region. Mm-hmm. In the stomach area, in the pancreas, and in the liver,
gallbladder,
and that whole region of the body and the torso, because that's a major center. The solar plexus is a major distribution center in the body, and if much of the energy gets congested in this particular center, one of the seven major centers in the body, the solar plexus, then a lot of the energy gets congested in that area, and then that affects in turn the glands in that area of the body, which in turn affect the physical mechanism, and that's where it works out, as we said, in the liver problems or in the stomach or in the gallbladder and that sort of thing. And if that energy isn't allowed to circulate or move upward into the heart area, for example, or into the throat center where it can be used more creatively, then, as you said, problems may arise in the emotional nature.
There's a law for healers in the books of Alice Bailey that talks about the problem that we've been discussing. It's Law 9, and it says that perfection calls imperfection to the surface. Good drives evil from the form of man in time and space. Well, that's hard to take in by the ear, but it reminds me of a statement by Martin Luther King, who spoke of the expulsive power of love. He believed and he taught that love could drive out evil, ill will, hatred. And I think that's the same recognition that lies behind this law of healing, that perfection calls imperfection to the surface, because that's implying that the growing grip of the soul on its instrument might very well result for a cycle in drawing conditions of disease and illness into manifestation. People tend to think that if they are really a good spiritual person, they'll enjoy perfect health. And that's not always the case. Some very beautiful souls and some very highly evolved people struggle mightily with illness. And they might be passing through a stage where this law applies. The growing perfection of the soul draws up the latent imperfections. And the writings of Alice Bailey apply this to humanity and its present condition, that the growing presence of the soul in humanity, speaking on a general level, is bringing to light a lot of conditions that are conditions of disease, lack of distribution of energies of love and goodwill and sharing on every level, from the economic to the mental, are creating a disease in our humanity that is in fact a sign of our evolution.
Yes, and as you pointed out that it's perhaps more advanced people that are experiencing these diseases in a more critical way, because the very fact that they're opened up, their minds are more awake and more sensitive to the world around them. They're more sensitive, therefore, to the soul's impulses and the soul's energies. And the soul has a more fitting vehicle, if you want to put it that way, through which to work. And therefore, more soul energy pours into the personality life, and thereby creating more of that friction, those points of friction. And it draws out and lifts up to the surface all of the discontent that has just been lying there.
I suppose the condition of health is promoted by developing a clear and increasingly skillful manifestation of our individual concepts of the good, the true, and the beautiful. Living up to our highest truth is a concept that we hear spoken today, and there's a lot of reality behind that. Live according to the highest truth you can understand. Manifest as much beauty in your environment and through your person as you can register. Be as good as you understand goodness to be. Be all the qualities of goodness that you personally can imagine. That's all any of us can do, live up to the highest within us. But I think good health is promoted by our being everything on an outer manifested level that we are able to imagine and comprehend.
And it's the conflict, as you said, that between the ideal that we imagine and what the ideal is in the mind of the soul, because that ideal is closer to the ideal as it is in the mind of God than our ideal is to the truth. So it's brings up so much conflict there, because we never are able to reach the ideal. It's always just a little bit ahead of us.
There's a technique that people might want to experiment with, an evening review of asking yourself as you get ready to go to sleep each night for one example during your day of something good that you experienced, an example of the true, and an example of the beautiful. Learning to recognize and distinguish those attributes might help bring your soul's vision of the good, the beautiful, and the true more clearly into your consciousness. It's a technique we can try. What did I see today of the good, the beautiful, and the true?
And then you begin to apply the as-if technique to bring about that good, the beautiful, and the true in your life the best way that you can. And that's working, always working forward, ever forward for the ideal. You may never reach it, but that's not a reason for discouragement, because another lifetime, perhaps.
And once again, if you'd like to explore the topic of this show in much greater depth, you can order Alice Bailey's book, Esoteric Healing by Alice Bailey, and it's available from the Lucis Publishing Company for $22. Shipping is for free.
Be sure to mention Inner Sight, though, to get qualified for the free shipping.
Okay. And to order by mail, send check or money order for $22 to Lucis Publishing Company. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's mail the check or money order to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you want to order by online, you can order from our website at www.lucistrust.org. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.